Our gospel reading this morning may sound familiar because it's a passage we often read during the season of Easter, after Christ has resurrected. But we are reading it today in the conclusion of our sermon series on what God never said. So hear these words from John 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, this morning we are finishing our sermon series, God Never Said That. It's a sermon series where we are looking at some of those famous quotes about God that simply aren't in the Bible. These are things people believe are true, people quote all the time, but Scripture doesn't actually say them. Things like, everything happens for a reason, or God won't give you more than you could handle, or God is an Ohio State fan. It's not in the Bible, despite what people tell me. And this morning, we look again at another often quoted verse about God that's not in Scripture, this one involving windows and doors, and what happens when we meet adversity in our life. We're going to look at this in the passage of Scripture Sarah just read, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Amen. Well, I thought the interview had gone amazing. I really did. I was charming and endearing. I laughed at their jokes. They laughed at my jokes. I made eye contact with the committee for the entire hour, and when we finally parted ways, I ended with a firm handshake. I mean, really, who wouldn't want to hire me? I was 26 years old, a seminary graduate, 5 years of experience working in the church. I was a lock for the position, which is what made the next email I received so surprising. I opened my account and saw I had a message from the search committee chair. She wrote and said, "Mr. Beam, thank you for meeting with our committee last Tuesday. We enjoyed our conversation. However, we regret to inform you that you are no longer a candidate for the position of youth minister at Decatur First United Methodist Church. Blessings to you on your continued job search. This will be our last correspondence." Now, I was disappointed, to be sure. The truth is, I had never experienced rejection like that before anywhere in my life, so I didn't exactly know how to handle it. Some of my friends, they tried to comfort me. They told me that God was preparing me for even better things. They said, "Don't worry, David, don't worry. When God closes a door, he opens a window." But of course, those words didn't make me feel any better. God closes a door, God opens a window. Now, what I believe my friends were trying to tell me in that moment is that even though this opportunity didn't work out, that God would still be there to provide me more opportunities in the future. That's what that saying means, when God closes a door, God opens a window. It means that God will always provide a way out for you, an escape for you, another opportunity for you to get what you want. No, you didn't get the job or the spouse or the home or the Black Friday sale. Don't worry. When God closes a door, God opens a window. Did you hear the implication? And the implication is that eventually we will get what we want. Eventually some window will open. It's just sometimes God needs a little creativity and time to make it happen. But of course, that saying's not in the Bible. God never said it. So where did it come from? Who was it that coined that phrase, when God closes a door, God opens a window? Was it St. Augustine? Was it Tertullian? Was it Martin Luther who said it back in the 15th century? Well, no, the phrase is actually far more contemporary than that. It's from the 20th century. It was first spoken by a nun living in Austria during the Nazi occupation. She was helping care for children who had lost their mother during the war before she herself had to escape to Switzerland. Maybe you've heard of her before. Her name was St. Julie Andrews. That's right, people. That quote that you love so much, it's not from the Bible. It's from The Sound of Music. It's what Maria tells herself when she's forced to leave the abbey and care for Captain Von Trapp's children. It's okay, Maria says. When the Lord closes a door, somewhere a window opens. Translation? There's always a way out. There's always an escape from the situation. There's always another opportunity for us to get what we want. There's always a window that will open, but of course, sometimes in life, that's just not true. Sometimes in life, there is no escape from what it is you have to face. I was talking to a man once and asked him how his father was doing, and he told me, not good. He said, Dad's not good at all. He said, we took him to the doctor a few weeks ago because he was complaining about his throat and his chest. And, well, I thought it was a cold or some kind of infection. I thought they would give him steroids, but instead, the man said, they gave Dad a biopsy. And the doctor says it's advanced. The doctor says that there's not much they can do for someone his age. The doctor says we need to travel now while he still is feeling somewhat okay, because sooner or later the disease will take its course. They say there's not much that can be done. You see, sometimes in life there's no escaping what it is you have to face. Sometimes in life there are no windows that are going to open that will allow you to still get what you want. Sometimes in life you are trapped by fate, by circumstance, by bad luck. Sometimes you're stuck in a place where there is no returning to the way things used to be. My best friend from college is an orthopedic surgeon that works in the trauma department at the Northeast Georgia Medical Center. He works with people who have been in terrible accidents, have had hundreds of bones broken throughout them, and every day he has the same conversation with his patients after he's performed the surgery. He sits down, he tells them the exact same thing. He says, what you need to understand is that you have experienced a life-altering surgery. So it doesn't matter how much treatment you receive, doesn't matter how many surgeries we perform, your body simply can't go back to the way it used to be. Too much has happened to it. You have to understand there is going to be a new normal. You're going to have to adjust to it. And sometimes in life, both the doors and the windows are locked. And so in our scripture passage this morning, the gospel author John tells us that on the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together in an upper room, and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. You see, this wasn't a circumstance the disciples had planned on. This wasn't part of where they thought they were headed. The disciples had planned to spend the rest of their life with Jesus. They had planned to follow him to the ends of the earth, but then one day all that changed, and there was a new normal they had to adjust to. Jesus had died. He had hung on a tree. There was nothing they could do to stop it. There was no window that was going to allow them to avoid that reality. There was no way to return to the way things used to be. The disciples were stuck in a circumstance that they did not choose and would not wish on their worst enemy. They were trapped behind a locked door. The scripture says, all of a sudden, Jesus showed up. He came to them. And when Jesus came to the disciples, he didn't say to them, now Peter, when God closes the door, God opens a window. No, instead the scripture says, Jesus passed through their locked doors. He came and he stood among them as they were incarcerated in their own fear. And he said, peace be with you. And he breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. And he stood alongside them as they began to adjust to the new normal. The scripture says Jesus was with them the entire time. I read an article recently about a lieutenant colonel who spent 6.5 years in a prison camp in North Vietnam. The article said every year at Christmas time, he and his fellow prisoners would sing Christmas carols. And every year, the senior ranking officer would initiate what they called a home for Christmas prayer. That's where they got together, and they prayed that somehow God would bring them home once again by Christmas time. And every year, they offered the same prayer. Again and again, the same words would come, only they never made it home for Christmas. For 6 consecutive years, they were stuck there. For 6 consecutive years, they were behind bars. People ask me, he said in the article, what kept me going? What kept me going during those years of imprisonment? How did I not lose heart? And the answer is easy, he said. It was God. God was the one who was there for us. God was the one who took care of us the entire time. Now, sometimes in life, there is no avoiding the challenge you have to face. Sometimes there are no windows that are going to allow you to escape. Sometimes you are imprisoned within the walls of a new normal that you did not choose and you would not wish upon your worst enemy. Sometimes you don't get the job. Sometimes the relationship falls apart. Sometimes the diagnosis is the worst case scenario. And it's those moments, the scripture says, it's at those times when Jesus passes through the locked doors of our hearts. Gives us the strength to continue. There in that upper room, there on the first evening of Easter, Jesus showed up with his disciples. He showed them his hands in his side. He breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you, he said. My peace I give to you. He gave them peace. You will call him Emmanuel. That's what the angel said to Mary. It means God with us. During those moments when we are imprisoned by fate or misfortune or bad luck, during those times when we can't get to him, those are the moments he comes to us. The moments he helps us move forward. One of my favorite pastors today is an Episcopal priest from Washington, D.C. named Claire Wimbush. Now, you have no reason to know Claire Wimbush, but she graduated Phi Beta Kappa from William & Mary in 2005. She graduated summa cum laude from Duke Divinity in 2009. Both her professors and her peers agree she's one of the most gifted young priests in the country today. A teacher, a preacher, a writer. She was also born with spastic cerebral palsy. It's a permanent condition. It's one that's left her unable to care for herself. Basically, she says, she's trapped in her own body. Her mind and her body don't communicate well together. There's nothing she can do to change it. She wrote this about her ministry. She said, you know, my ministry is not graceful in the customary sense because there are so many things I cannot do. I cannot walk or stand, or wash my own hair, or tie my own shoes. I drop everything I pick up. When I was first learning to celebrate communion, I had to be very careful not to drop the body and the blood of Christ, but I realized that there was a kind of beauty in my broken body offering the broken body of Christ to my congregation. And yes, I get discouraged. I get discouraged, he says, but then I hear Christ saying, I have come to you. I hear him saying, I have given you myself. Now give me your body and those things that I would do, to touch and to heal, to bless and to walk. Do this in remembrance of me. So every day, Claire keeps going. Every day, she keeps answering the call God has placed upon us. Every day, she keeps trusting in the one who will give her strength, the strength she needs to continue. Doors, and he doesn't open windows. He passes through locked doors, and he gives you the strength you need to continue. So hold on. Whatever it is you are facing in your life right now, whatever you did not choose, hold on. Because his name is Emmanuel. His name means God with us. Thanks be to God. And amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, in those moments when we find ourselves trapped in our own grief, trapped in our own sorrow, trapped in our own fear, we pray that you would pass through the locked doors of our hearts and come abide with us. Lord, we pray that you would give us strength to keep moving forward, even on the journeys we did not choose. Keep moving forward, trusting in you, knowing that indeed you are there the whole time, and that one day you will bring us home. For we offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.